This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Jess on Joy.
We are very happy again to welcome in Sam Higgins, MP.
Higgins.
Oh, Higgins, thank you. What did I say?
I think you're a bit into like, oh, Higgins. Oh, hello, Gov. How are you, Mr. Higgins?
Oh, I love that. That's my favourite. You know that. Victorian Greens member for Paran. Hello, sir. You can explain your name to us here.
Higgins, H-I-B-B-I-N-S. But don't worry. I've got many a certificate and trophy at home with my name spelt wrong. E-N-S-O-N-S.
Oh, really?
Really? It's up for grabs.
And don't forget, you are in Parliament, so you've probably been caught a lot worse.
Yeah. A lot worse. I did have my first time I ran for Parliament was actually in the seat of Higgins.
Ah,
so
there we
I
go.
Was Sam Higgins standing for Higgins.
This is getting funny.
I didn't succeed there, fortunately.
Didn't succeed.
Because they kept on voting for Higgins instead of Higgins. But we did just talk about, we're talking about wombats. We were just talking off air because I was saying in Warburton, I've got a house there. We've got a couple of wombats. And then Tom said, what about in Cooper Pedy? No wombats in Cooper Pedy, but we live like wombats in Cooper Pedy because we live underground.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the, you know, that eats roots and leaves. Yeah.
I love, my favourite fact about wombats is their cubed poo. That's the best.
Right.
They do cubed poos. And did you know that? My partner's a zoologist, and the first thing, we're walking along very fancy, walking along and on a rock, they poo on things. They back up and poo on things, and they poo cubes.
Right.
It's amazing. All right, so that's not what we're talking about, but anyway.
Well, I mean, we love wombats. Everyone loves wombats.
I love wombats.
Who doesn't love wombats?
Except for on a road when you're going around a corner.
Well, of course. But did you know that Victoria is the wombat killing capital of Australia? Get this.
What?
So, basically, wombats, look, They can cause, you know, a bit of damage on farmland, you know, to fences. They can cause holes and that sort of stuff.
If they want to get to the other side, there's no stopping a wombat.
No. They burrow. And so you can, farmers, property owners, can get a permit to, if they want to, use lethal action to kill a wombat if they think it's causing damage to their property, which I don't think on the surface you necessarily need to do. There's plenty of humane ways to remove wombats and to deal with wombat issues. But this system, I mean, really, for example, in New South Wales, there's about a few hundred permits issued per year. In Victoria, it's up around, I think, 3,000 to 4,000.
What?
But get this, it's even worse. There are certain areas of the state, particularly in eastern Victoria, where the minister has just come in, this law has been in place since the 80s, where you don't even need a permit to kill a wombat.
So anyone can just go off and kill wombats?
Well, I mean, under certain circumstances, if they're causing damage to your property or something along those lines. But so we don't even know. So we've got 4,000 wombats a year being killed, you know, legally, which is ridiculously high. But then we don't even know how many wombats out there are being killed, whether it's humane or not. What's actually happening out there? It's an archaic law that's been in place since the 80s.
Beautiful.
And it's absolutely outrageous that it still exists. And I've been calling for these laws to be removed immediately.
Yes.
Get rid of it. If we're going to have, if there does need to be some sort of system for people to be able to control animals on their properties, well, it needs to be a very formal, very regulated, very limited system. Certainly not 4,000 permits issued a year.
And do people, like, wombats are just ours, aren't they? They don't belong to any other country.
That's right.
So we're the only ones that can protect them. Oh, that is so horrible. And they're like our little crawling bears.
I mean, all this came to light because I think if you were recently with the scandal around Crown Casino, you had high rollers coming into Victoria and going out to some farm.
Oh, yeah, then, Tom was real upset about
everyone
that
Everyone was upset about this. Oh, terrible. But then they realised, hey, look at all this stuff that's actually going on legally, all this wombat killing that's going on legally. So it's absolutely terrible. The government have undertaken a, inverted commas, review into the this. Apparently that review's been completed, but they're not releasing it to the public. They're saying they're going to make a decision about these laws sometime next year, but this is ridiculous, taking far too long. I would say that the government needs to act immediately, get rid of these exemptions that allow wombats to be killed without a permit. And let's protect
it. It always worries me when they've come back with a report that they tell us they're not going to tell us about,
exactly.
Which makes me start thinking, does that mean the public mightn't like the response that's came back? It's a bit scary.
Exactly. So this is something that I'm not going to let go. I think this is outrageous, and I think people, you know, Victorians are rightly outraged that these laws are even in place that allow these wombats to be killed. So I'm not going to let this go, and this is going to be something I'm going to pursue next year to make sure that these laws are changed.
Well, we are here with you, so we'll be talking to our local members. That's what we all need to do. Get out there, and they're all going to start looking for our votes again after Christmas because we'll start going back into the whole cycle again.
That's right.
We are still joined by our Greens member of Paran, Sam Hibbins.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Now, last week we actually had Fiona Patton in here, and the thing that we were talking about was there seems to be a lot of homeless, but it's not just the homeless we're seeing that we think we see when we're walking down Bourke Street. I was shocked to hear the amount of families who are actually living in their cars, who are ready to lose it. I mean, what are we doing up there?
And there's a disproportionate amount of LGBTQI as well.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right. LGBTI people, very overrepresentative homelessness statistics. And you're right, it's not just people sleeping rough, living on the streets, although that has increased. So many people in unsafe or unsecure accommodation with nowhere else to go. You know, LGBTI young people, God, still getting kicked out of home after coming out, for goodness
rejected,
sake.
Yeah.
And then a real barrier there in accessing some of the homeless services for fear of discrimination, which is, you know, a real concern there that many young people actually, even though some of our services are fantastic, some young people feeling that they, you know, they've faced discrimination at home, are they going to face discrimination, you know, accessing a faith-based service? And
of course, you don't really always think about the fact that it's a lot of them
that's
are faith-based
right.
services.
That's right. And so, you know, a lot of them do a fantastic job, but unfortunately we still have these laws that allow faith-based services and schools, of course, to discriminate against LGBTI people.
Well, it could get worse with the Religious Freedom Bill coming in,
that's
so we don't even know what effect that will have on...
Well, that's right.
They're saying a doctor can't discriminate against an LGBT or someone that goes against their faith, but who's to say that they mightn't when it comes to their shelters?
And why would a young person take that risk, you know, having faced discrimination? Why would they then take a risk to seek help, but then also potentially face discrimination there? So those laws act as a real barrier. But, you know, where other countries or where other places in the world have actually successfully dealt with really addressed and reduced homelessness, do you know what they've done? They've built houses for people.
Yes.
It's a simple, old-fashioned way of actually dealing with homelessness. We need to build houses for people, and that's what we did after you know, World War II.
Yeah.
There was a big build of public housing, and it was for all sorts of people, you know, people on low incomes, a very wide cohort of people needing access to public housing. We need to do that again.
Instead, we seem to be selling off our public areas. Now, I've said it last week, and I'll say it again. There was a way to do it. We have so many buildings being built, and I live out in Point Cook area, and the estates are going. Say to the developer, every house, you know, 100 houses you build, you've got to give one back to the Department of Housing. Or if we build a, you know, 34-storey building, you know, one floor of those units gets handed over. They're still going to build them.
Yeah,
they're still going to be making a profit. There's a way to do it that doesn't have to come out of our government purses if we're that worried about where we're going to spend money.
Well, that's right. Inclusionary zoning. It's a way of getting, you know, public housing within all these private developments, all these towers that are going up. And instead, we seem to have the reverse happening. Instead, we've got land that should be exclusively for public housing. The government's selling it off and privatising it to put private housing on it, which is just ludicrous.
Which is ludicrous. And we know how expensive it is to rent in Melbourne.
That's right.
If you are on unemployment benefits or any type of social security benefits, you can't afford to live here.
That's right.
It puts you out in the outskirts of areas where there is no employment. Mm. So you're stuck in this cycle.
That's right. I mean, as the member for Paran, you know, I want to see, you know, I think Paran's a place where people who need public housing should be able to live, you know, close to services, close to jobs, close to schools, close to transport. I think it's really important that we make sure that our inner cities don't come, you know, completely priced out and completely gentrified. They've got to make sure that we can cater for a diverse range of people.
And what a horrible area it will be if all we have is the filthy rich. I mean, a great area has its artists. It does have people that can afford to go into the cafes and the florist.
That's right.
But that's what makes a community.
That's right.
It's a broad section, and we want our kids to be getting around with everyone.
I don't want to jump in too much on this because it is a huge topic, but the phones and the texting has exploded on the Wombat debate.
Right, yeah.
I want people to know where they can go to. So we've got people that are saying, well, on one hand, wombats are adorable. How are we not looking after them, yet we're protecting poisonous snakes? And then we've got another, a guy, Ronan, has got a real question. He wants to know, like, where can he go to actually, what's the real world solution? Because he's legally liable if there's a car accident from his cattle getting out and the damaged fences caused by wombats. Where can he go to get your responses on this? So with the phone, he believes that if it costs him tens of thousands of dollars to repair if his cattle hits a car from a wombat thing. So what is the real world solution when it comes to the wombats? Because
my understanding is there's humane ways to actually remove wombats from your property, or mark out where they've done burrows, or to close up the burrows.
Yep.
That's my understanding.
Yep.
And as I said, look, there may be, I would hope not, a very limited circumstances where you would actually have to kill a wombat. It certainly shouldn't be 4,000 wombats being killed a year. And it certainly shouldn't just be a free-for-all where you don't even need a permit. So I would suggest that there are actually humane ways to deal with when you've got wombats.
And why are they not protected? Why are they not protected yet snakes are?
Well, this is this strange, really archaic carve-out in the law where all native animals are essentially protected. But, however, when these laws came in the 80s, the government of the time decided to carve out large tracts of land in eastern Victoria and parts of Victoria where wombats, where we mainly have wombats, and exempted them so you don't need an actual a permit. So that is, and that carve-out needs to go immediately.
Where are we going to hear your thoughts? Where can we go to hear your thoughts and have people that are messaging us and wanting these questions are just coming out. Mm-hmm. So where can they go to ask you directly or to hear your thoughts?
By all means, contact my office, my email, samhibbins at parliament.vic.gov.au. Happy to respond to any questions about
that.
Do you
want any of the socials?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, on Twitter.
Of course, you can't be a politician without it.
on the lot.
But most people, I will say, most people are just shocked that wombats are not being protected and how beautiful they were. I thought we'd address it because we have a lot of messages that just came through.
Because I'm concerned that the government is just going to try and walk away from this and, you know, oh, yes, we've done a review and then, you know, we don't hear from them again. So you actually
do want them to write to you. So I want them to write to me.
Let's keep the pressure on and make sure the government cannot
right
just
to your local member
yes.
is going to do more because that's who you're voting for. But look, while you're out there for the wombats, remember we have people with children sleeping rough. Look, we should keep moving on. Sam, thank you so much for coming again. I hope we can see you again next year, in 2020.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
You too.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Wake up with Tom and Jess Thursdays on Joy Breakfast. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne, stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Find all our podcasts at tomandjessradio.com or subscribe on iTunes or Spotify.
Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.